Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, looks like Andra's not here, so we'll just have to
Okay.
go ahead.
All right. Well, I did. I've been trying to keep up with all your hangouts that you do, and I love them. Boy, I tell you, Mike, it's such a, it really is. I just can't thank you enough for what you're, you know, putting out there and making available to everybody. There's such a wealth of information. But you did mention, I know we've been talking about it since back in October, November, about a training pathway. And you did mention, I believe it was just in one, maybe yesterday or Monday, that you were, I guess this new series that you're starting with your church is what is going to be the foundation of kind of a I forget how you called it, a training or a method or a pathway that would even eventually become a book or a booklet. Is that what that is? The thing that we've been talking about for several months?
Yeah, I mean,
Oh, okay.
what, in a sense, it's like it's a lot of work,
Yeah.
and
Oh, I can imagine.
sort of pull together an interactive, sort of PowerPoint with all the exercises and the links to, information as well as practical experience of things. It's going to take a bit of doing. I have the basic pathways established. But of course, when I go somewhere else, I keep having to add other places to it, So to help me be able to focus on that, I'm going to take the whole church through from the beginning. And what I'm doing is I'm actually we're videoing the sessions as well as recording them, and they will become part of the package. Or if we eventually get it to be a written manual, then there'll probably be a DVD that goes with it, which has all the practical exercises and the videos and everything. So we're beginning that now to prepare those along the way. Although we're not, they're not, they won't be made available until we've finished pulling the whole thing together. But some of the audio things I'm still sort of putting up as podcasts at the moment. But yeah, I mean, it is really looking to engage people from the beginning and help people follow the two pathways through to their conclusion, really. But when you begin to break it down, you realize how much there is to cover. I'm doing preparation for the journey, and I've got six sessions to do on preparation for the journey. And that's before we get to base camp. And when we get to base camp, then we'll start to do spirit building exercises to engage our spirit to be able to go on the journey and enjoy it and experience it and encounter it as we go. So, I'm on this. I've done two sessions so far, and I've got four more to do on preparation. That's if I don't find any more to do before that. But I think I'm fairly sure on that. And then we're going to start going to base camp, and those will be, the initial exercises that we will use, with the interactive PowerPoint, to help people build their spirit. Praying in tongues inside and out. Engaging two things at once. Those type of things, as well as, learning to hear the voice of God as a flow of thoughts in meditating in the Word and meditating in connection, in relationship, and then the visual side of it, open up the eyes of our hearts, open up the eyes of our spirit, and that basically will be the basic base camp training exercises, so that people can be prepared then for the journey. So then, when we do going to Eden and go into the garden of our heart, people will have the basic way of engaging by faith, engaging with the eyes of your heart, the eyes of your spirit, engaging, with impressions and thoughts and feelings. So there should be a basic understanding, and that's where we're going to start. But, you know, it's going to take a while, you know. But, you know, I'm sort of pretty much about 5 or 6 weeks ahead, so I've had a really good time of preparing stuff recently. God's been gracious, and I've managed to get, you know, probably 5 or 6 weeks stuff already prepared. You know, so then I can keep going ahead and just keep going and putting it together. But, you know, that, so that's really where that is. You know, it's probably not going to be, I wouldn't imagine, until next year, and really when I think I'm maybe ready to release something. I'm probably looking to pull together an alpha group of people on the internet who want to start from the beginning and work through that with them. We're just working out the details of that right now to see, you know, how many people could I do it with, you know, whether it would be possible to do it with, you know, 5 or 6 people and then rotate that over maybe 15 or 20 people, but everyone's got access to all the exercises and the stuff as we go. I don't know, but I'm sort of working on that at the minute.
Oh, okay.
You know, but it will be for people who really want to start at the beginning and to test the actual program, if you like, in terms of how it would work. And I'll be looking for feedback and looking for interaction in terms of just how the exercises work, how people got on, and then look to use that as a development of it as we go. You know, and so that would be people who are willing to do that. I think some people, you know, they're probably at a more an advanced stage and they just want to engage in some of the things that we're doing, you know, during the Hangouts, which is fine. But, you know, I'll probably post some sort of invitation and see what sort of response I get. But a few people have, you know, said, oh, they want to join the Hangouts and things. So I've made a suggestion, okay, would you like to do this? And some have said, yeah, great. And others were, well, no, that's a bit beneath me. So I'm sort of like, okay, well, that's probably not a good attitude to have. But you're probably not going to connect up too well with that sort of attitude. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes.
Wow. Yeah, well, I would be interested in that only because that's the process I'm finding myself in leading other people into, is, you know, that whole just to you know, to see how to do that, because we're getting new people, and the dilemma is how to get them integrated and get them on board and flowing and not hold anybody else up and get them to seeing and hearing and experiencing. And I actually this last week I gave everybody homework of watching a clip, about a 20-minute clip of one of your Hangouts, where you talk about the difference between spiritual warfare versus judicial authority.
All right, yeah.
And that whole shift of thinking and shift of the way of praying and everything, and it stirred up some real interesting questions, and you know, you know, people wanting to know more about it, and you know, because it's a whole different way of thinking. I mean, it really is. Now, one question that I did have that was, I think I answered it okay, but maybe you could, since they'll probably watch this, could you explain or bring some more clarity to contextually, how do you do this new kind of praying, or I should say, the judicial authority? I mean, obviously, it depends on your sphere of influence, but like all the way from praying for an individual that has emotional issues and problems and that's in your sphere of authority, and how to break them loose from that and pray over them, to someone bigger that has a much greater sphere of influence, like yourself, that's over a church or over a region or an area. I mean, is the protocol pretty much the same all throughout, or do you shift it a little bit in there?
Well, the basic principles of the kingdom are the same. You know, there is the walking in his ways here, which means we need to practically live out the truth of what we believe. You know, we don't want to be so heavenly minded that we don't actually become a gateway of heaven on earth. We want everything we do in heaven to be manifested through us, so that we're a channel for heaven to manifest around us. So in a sense, you know, the very practical thing is we should be in control, in the right way, of having dominion and ruling over our sphere around our personal life. You know, and that being the atmosphere around us, so therefore we have to be careful what we say, what we think, because, you know, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. The mouth speaks from the overflow of the heart, so we need to make sure that we don't lapse into complacency, but we contain a walk of holiness, walking by faith, walking in holiness, knowing who we are and the righteousness of God. And that means then being able to work and release the anointing of God around our lives in a practical way, so that we can lay hands on the sick, we can speak creatively, we can release favor and blessing through our lives. You know, freely we've received, freely we need to give. You know, so I think that there's that aspect of it that we mustn't forget, because sometimes we can get so focused on, well, we're going to go into this court and work from that mountain, and yeah, there's the reality is we need to bring the kingdom as it is in heaven on earth. So there is things we need and can only be done there. But my personal relationship and intimacy with God, also he is in me. So I'm as much learning to cultivate connecting with him in the garden of my heart and in the dimension of my spirit, so that I have an intimate walk with God, so that ultimately what I'm looking to do in the long run is to be living in heaven and on earth simultaneously, being able to do those things, seeing what the Father's doing, operating out of the authority that I'm released by the Father with mandates, because I've looked into his will and purpose, I'm connected with my destiny, so everything is in alignment with God's will for me on a day-to-day basis. And ultimately that's what where we're looking for. So that's one side of it, which I think, you know, needs to be maintained, and we need to make sure that we are light and salt and the things that Jesus said we should be in the community, and living the gospel and always having, you know, an answer for the hope that's within us, and very practical. We need to be living this out. But there is also the sense that we are sons of God, and as sons of God, we can operate as lords and kings, and that means that we have judicial authority to do the as it is bit in heaven. So we get to establish through our lives that which God has called us to do, and initially, the level of authority that operates in his lordship, under his kingship, and so we get access to certain judicial courts, and we get access particularly to the court of war and strategy and to the court of angels, and we get the mobile court anyway. And what we do is we live out the 12 laws that come out of Jerusalem on earth. We walk in those ways. We apply those principles, you know, the law of the spirit of life in Christ, and, you know, all those, you know, law of faith and the law of love, and, you know, there's 12 of them, sowing and reaping, first mention, 12 laws that are things that we are walking in his ways here. But there's also 12 laws that come out of Zion, which is the mountain of God, and those are there representing the heavenly protocols of how to rule and how to administer those laws from Zion. And I've yet to find anywhere where Ian has actually mentioned what they are. He did mention one of them that he mentioned here when he was here and did a session on the mantle of Jesus. But I feel we need to know them. So even this week, I've gone back to the Firestones looking for revelation of the knowledge of God that would enable me to understand the protocols of the kingdom and those 12 laws that come out of Zion. And I had some really, a really interesting encounter. You know, I took our bench of three there, and they were, and I'd never taken anybody here there before, so we went to the judgment seat and we went to the Firestones, and they were pretty much sort of like, it was pretty intense, let's say. But I encountered on one of the Firestones, I encountered revelation of chancellorship, and I was given a seal, a chancellor's seal, and I got shown the 12 chancellor's houses, the 12 houses and their doors and their names, and then I went back and sought revelation about who they were and what their names are. You know, Melchizedek is obviously the chief chancellor of the treasury room, but there's also 11 other rooms which I believe are associated with these 12 laws that come out of Zion. So I'm on the case to try and work with God to explore that. You know, I have all the names now, and I have all the places I can go. Now I just need to start going and working with them. You know, being given this seal, it was like you have access. You know, and at the end of the day, those chancellors are spiritual created beings. But actually, we are those that are supposed to administer from the revelation that Satan had when he was walking on the Firestones, to release that revelation, the light and the sound and the frequency of each of the stones and the colors of those stones, which was that we, as sons of God, were going to get to administer heaven and administer the spiritual realms. That's what he didn't like about it, and rebelled and kept the information to himself, rather and then look to draw people on to, into that trade for knowledge with the authority of ruling. You know, so there's a whole load more to come into, but the basic understanding of the context of these judicial things is that we operate righteousness and justice, the foundations of the throne. That's the basic thing we have to understand. We bring justice, which means that you have to have judgment. You can't have justice without judgment. Therefore, we have to learn to judge. Now, we're judging not unto death, but unto life. So our judgments are to bring the revelatory knowledge and wisdom and understanding that releases counsel to enable judgments to take place from a place of righteousness, which is why it's so important that we maintain the gateways of our life, that we maintain presenting ourselves as living sacrifices, that we maintain that, you know, search my heart, O God, so that we are prepared to do His will in that way. And there are sort of different levels of court, if you like, that we get to learn how to administrate. And it's not, it's pretty unlikely that anybody who's going into their first court is going to engage the Galactic Council to make decrees that are going to affect the whole Earth. You know, you're going to start with things that affect your life and your family and your workplace and the things that are around you, and you learn to do that. But even there, we must learn to come out of righteousness, which means making sure we come from a position of forgiveness as the foundation, that we want no revenge when we come to deal with the court issue. And even in dealing with familiar spirits and dealing with the enemy, our heart must not be unrighteous. It's not that we have any sympathy for him, but we can't come out of anger and bitterness and resentment towards the enemy, because he'll use that and turn it against us. We must still come out of a place of love. And that means that we must always forgive every situation that we're going to administer. Otherwise, we won't be coming from it from a position of righteousness. And there's a danger in that. And so, you know, maintaining a heart of holiness and a lifestyle of humility before God, none of this is because we're great and mighty anything. We are just His children that He's entrusted with revelation on these things. And so, you know, in learning how to operate judicially, righteousness must be the foundation. And coming out of that is a key in everything. But the context of ministering these things is that we come from a higher level of authority. In previous spiritual warfare type things, people have looked to engage here, engage those things that are a hindrance or a blockage to what God is wanting to do in an area or a town or in a ministry setting or whatever. And a lot of that was, I believe, a stepping stone of revelation, which brought people to an understanding that, hey, there's an unseen realm here that if we don't deal with, then we're going to be under. And it's going to affect what we do. So the revelation that there were principalities and powers and rulers of wickedness in dark places, that there was an atmosphere of the earth, some people would obviously call it a second heaven. You know, I sort of obviously know there's seven realms of heaven, so it's the atmosphere of the earth, the prince of the power of the air, in that realm, in that spiritual dimension, we understood and had revelation about, hey, there are things here which have an effect on the culture of the earth, and the things that we do here empower those things there to continue to reinforce those things here, and obviously generationally, third and fourth generation, generations of things that happened over a region that have never been dealt with, they still have something crying out from the ground, if you like, that gives legal right for certain things to take place. So we identified a lot of those things, and therefore we went through learning how to do things like spiritual mapping and learning how to understand history and the things that have happened spiritually that are still having effect now. And all that was good. I'm not saying anything was wrong with that. I think it was, but it was a stepping stone to understand the principles that these things do have an effect, and we have to learn how to deal with them. The revelation we had at the point to deal with them was we either did prophetic acts here that demonstrated that we were undoing what had been done. So if a covenant has been made, then we break that covenant with an area or with a blood covenant or whatever, and we then apply a fresh covenant to it. We do things that refer to that. Here in our region, we had an area where the first train that came into our town, on it were Freemasons in full regalia from another town, and on the platform they poured out blood and wine and oil, and they claimed that area, and that area became the commercial and administrative center for our town. Civic centers there, police stations there, law courts are there, all in this area. So when we identified that was done, we went down there with our own oil and wine, and we poured our oil and wine on the place. It's no longer a train station. The train goes to a different place, but it was then. So we went there, and we did that, and we've done things like salting things, and because we felt God told us to do it. And actually, I would still do those things if God told me to do them, you know, but I would have done them now as an outworking of what has been done from a higher level of authority in the realms of heaven, rather than just trying to do something here without having it been done there first. And so then people look to then deal with principalities and powers, and there was a lot of binding things in the heavens and prayer from here to engage those things, but they weren't above them. You know, and sometimes there was a graciousness about God that allowed us to operate in immaturity and see some success until it became formularized. And as soon as something becomes formularized, that the power goes out of it. Because we need to hear God for every specific instance of what we need to do, not, okay, this is what they did in, you know, somewhere in South America or somewhere, you know, and they did this, and now we can do that here, and we'll get the same results. And people found there was a law of diminishing returns. You know, what seemed to work really great in one place, those who took that and sort of embraced it with faith, there were some results, but then it got less and less and less because actually people weren't coming from a position of anointing or faith. They were just trying to copy what someone else had done. And I think there was a lot of spiritual warfare which brought us revelation and gave us some insights. But if people are still trying to do it the same way, without realizing there's another level of authority that we've been given revelation of, then that's why a lot of people in those spheres end up getting pretty damaged and damned, because they're coming against things from below them, not above them. And it's a dangerous thing, you know, to try and come against things, something that's higher than you in that realm. But if you come from a place of the mountains in the kingdom of God realm, having dealt with the spiritual beings that operate there also to hinder us ruling, then we have direct authority over the principalities and powers. And, you know, principalities really are just areas of territory. Territorial spirits have ruled them because we have not brought in the correct rulership into it. You know, so there was a lot of things that went on in those areas that we have. And I'm grateful that I have an understanding of, but now God has shown us a greater way and an easier way. And, you know, the understanding even of prayer, you know, with like Robert Henderson and people like that, has gone from, okay, we're going to engage in warfare and we're going to battle the enemy, into, no, we're going to get a judicial decision for us. And actually, we're going to use that authority to take authority over the enemy. We don't have to battle him. We have angels who also are ministering spirits on our behalf, who can go into the atmosphere of the earth. And they can take our authority that we give them to administer there on our behalf. We just get to direct them according to the mandates that we have. You know, and so now we have a revelation that when we are operating in the realms of the kingdom of God, and we operate from our mountains and our thrones with scepters, we know who we are, we know our identity as lords, then we administer the laws that have been established out of Zion as lords under the kingship of Jesus. And so that's one dimension. Now, you operate the mobile court over your own life, and that's where we can have the accusations brought. So we can get to know what the accusations are against us, our family line, and things that we have authority over. And that can be places or churches or groups or different things. You know, there are dynamics that operate. And we can go and we can get the revelation. And then we can learn to come under the judgment of God. Now, that's the difference. People were identifying with things, but not having the judgment made to bring us into a position of being clothed in robes of righteousness and able to release judgment. So there wasn't the judgment element of understanding spiritual warfare that was part of that previous revelation. But that's the bit that's been added. We get to make judgments from a position of authority as God's judgment is released on our behalf, because we've been willing to stand in that place, either for our own life or for our area, or depending on the sphere that we have influence over. And so that dimension means that we can get insight and we can operate in a judicial sense, knowing that we have the judge on our side and the advocate on our side, and the power of the blood of Jesus and the word of God over us that enables us to operate in that. So that's one aspect of learning how to do that, and we can do that obviously for our own life to free us and to get court orders which, you know, give us power and authority. There are mandates that give us the authority to act. And we can then learn, obviously, to go and get specific mandates according to destiny and the will and purpose of God for what we're doing. Again, to then administer those mandates, therefore we can use what we've been received as revelation, looking into the four faces of God, being in Him, being in His name, all those things are being in the center of Him, connected up with Him, and therefore be then administering those things out of that place of authority. And so there are different courts and judicial processes to go through. So we get a mandate, and then, you know, I think, you know, you put the mandate, sort of the process that I shared with you guys online, I think, just to say, look, there is a way daily that we can go and see what God wants for us to do each day, and then know that we're coming from authority in it. We can engage the angels in that. We can get a strategy for that, which may mean we do something on the earth. You know, it may not just be, oh, well, do this declaration here, call this, move this mountain in this realm. We may get to do something specifically here, you know, and there's nothing wrong in doing those things if they've come out of the revelation that has come from the strategy that came from heaven. And that's why we need apostolic blueprints to enable us to outwork those strategies. So, you know, that's the sort of the basic context of operating in authority in that way. Then if you then are faithful in that and you get released into the role in kingship, into the realm of the kingdom of heaven, where there is no light and darkness, it's just light, and where there is nothing of the enemy, then you get access to different courts. You get access to the Chancellor's Court, to the Court of Scribes, you know, and as you learn to begin to administer a different way, because you are now in a higher level of authority, you are then beginning to administer out of the desires of your heart aligned with your destiny, rather than just what has been released to you from the mandates given by the kingship of Jesus. And so therefore you get to make mandates that are in line with destiny. Now, it still must come out of relationship, and it must come out of being in Him. So I still get those things by going to the ark and having my heart aligned with my destiny and purposes of God that then birth mandates from within me rather than just something that I've been given, you know, and I'm just learning that, you know, and once you learn there, then you get to engage with wisdom. Now, wisdom, again, then, is about the protocols of rulership, you know, Proverbs 8, very much geared around helping those who are called as kings, princes, and nobles to rule. And so then we get access, when we get access to wisdom, to a whole another realm of understanding. And that one of the gates on wisdom heights takes us into the city of God, into the mountain of God, so we get access to another level of courts, and into the fire stones, and the tabernacle, and the temple of God, and the throne room of God. You get a whole different access realm there. And wisdom's also, I've discovered four doors that have taken me into the stars, into the under the earth, into the realm of the earth, and into the realm of the atmosphere of the earth. And so there's access you have there. You have access to the timeline, and where these paths meet at that place of wisdom and where wisdom's pillars are, and then you can engage the seven spirits of God, which are about tutoring and training to give us understanding of our position of authority. So, you know, it's a journey and a process that I know I take people into experiences of probably before most of them are totally ready to go there. as a forerunner experience. You know, they're not necessarily just because a door has been opened for them to go into to meet Wisdom or go into the Court of Chancellors, they're not necessarily going to get full access of being able to operate there straight away. But if they pursue it and their desires of their heart are aligned with it and they're faithful in doing the things that God's called them to do, then everyone can, I believe, can be enthroned in those positions and given a investiture with authority which will enable us to function there and to learn how to administer. You know, this whole order of Melchizedek is all about coming into a position of sonship so that we can administer that which is the resources of heaven and the laws of heaven, you know, these 12 laws that come out of Zion, and to administer those on the earth, you know. And so, you know, the context of it is not of warfare, but is one of authority. You know, sometimes a king has to go to war, but he sends his army to do it. You know, the king very often doesn't ride at the front of the army anymore anyway. You know, and they didn't then, really. They usually were in their chariot on the battlefield, but they had an army and generals who administered the war. You know, and we get to be involved with the different angelic categories, if you like, who are responsible for some of the army of God, the heavenly host, you know, and we get to learn to work with them. And, you know, the men in white linen also, you know. But once you've engaged Wisdom and you've accessed into the mountain of God, then you can then access the Court of Kings and the Court of the Upright and the Court of the Councils of the Fathers. And that was the last court that I'd not been in, and in that whole realm. And I got to go in there on Sunday and had an encounter there, which was awesome, and saw the 24 elders, the 12 representing the 12 laws coming out of Jerusalem, 12 representing the 12 laws coming out of things, and the throne of God there, and the court of councils. And, you know, I had some pretty interesting stuff that this week has caused me to go and engage with the Firestones, and then with those 12 chancellors that I mentioned earlier. And, you know, so you get, once you begin to get access and you're willing to go and pursue for the knowledge of God, then things open up, you know. But it's taken me, you know, a couple of years of really consistent daily work. You know, I put in all the hard work. You know, I opened my gates every day for, you know, 12 months or more. You know, I presented myself as a living sacrifice every day, and I still do that. I don't necessarily go through the whole process because that's a pathway now, but I put in, you know, a lot of time spent with God, pursuing, meditating, seeking His face, engaging with Him around the ark, that's brought this place of revelation that I can release to other people. You know, I don't desire to keep anything secret, but I am aware that some of the places that I can go to, and they can be quite intense for people if they're not used to that intensity. I mean, I did a couple of exercises with the Firestones last week, and, you know, some of the guys were pretty, found it a pretty intense experience, because it is, you know, that they're not for, you know, babies who've not encountered heaven. You know, it's like, because the responsibility that you have once you've been given the revelation, you're then accountable, you know, and the spirit of the fear of God, you know, is that who holds us accountable and will teach us about accountability. So it's not fun, you know. The judicial process, although I enjoy learning new things and going to new places, there is a serious responsibility that comes with it that I wouldn't encourage people to mess with if their hearts are not right, you know, because they'll be found out. You know, the motives of our heart. If we're trading into this, if for anything in our to meet a need in us, or to give us position, or to make us seem better in the eyes of other people, or anything like that, if there's a hint of those things, then the enemy will take the trade. You know, and it will be a negative thing and difficult. So we've got to make sure that we're coming from pure hearts and pure motives. So spend the time it takes to prepare your hearts as a living sacrifice. You know, spend the time to make sure that the coping mechanisms and defense mechanisms are removed and the skins of that we covered ourselves in have gone. You know, spend the time to make sure that, you know, we're not trading and the thoughts and intentions of our heart are not negative and that we're not coming out of an unmet need or an unresolved hurt or an unresolved issue in our life, that we're coming from a pure heart. And it takes time and willingness and humility to humble yourself and acknowledge how horrible we've been in the past, you know. But God loves us. You know, there's no guilt, shame, and condemnation. And if there's any hint that people are feeling guilt, shame, and condemnation, there's no way you can go before the presence of the judgment seat of God, because you'll get consumed. You know, you have to go there knowing that our sins are already forgiven and that we go before the fire of God's presence because he loves us and his desire is to refine and purify us. Therefore, we can be honest and open and present our scroll before him to see the wood, hay, and stubble that it contains, rather than trying to cover it up or hide it or, you know, and therefore you've got to know that your hearts are in the right place to go and access that. That's why I put a warning on one of the hangouts last week, because I think, you know, don't go here in this exercise if you're not ready. You know, because either it won't be effective and you just won't engage, or it'll wreck you. You know, if you're not ready for it. You know, so you know, there's a whole lot of stuff in understanding the context of ruling, bringing dominion. You know, I believe Adam went into the garden of God, he went into the realm of heaven and saw what was there and then was tasked with bringing that to the earth. First cultivating and tending the garden and then taking that garden out to the rest of the world to bring it into and under the authority that he was given. You know, he had access to go. Now we get access to go, and we can also do that administration to, in ultimate terms, to terraform the earth back to heavenly reflection, you know, and that's our task, you know, it's always been our task, and we've got dimensions of revelation that enable us to fulfill that task, but we're actually just learning at the minute. Most of us are just learning how these things work, how they function, what are the protocols, what do we need to do. You know, some people are doing it and are really administering things, you know, but a lot of us are just learning. You know, I get to administer some things, you know, but there's so much to learn, you know, and I don't get to administer too much right now because I'm still focusing on learning so that I can teach others, because that's my role, is to help other people to find out their destinies and their callings and help them and encourage them in that. You know, some people, they get to do it, and their function is they're going to administer and they're going to be mostly administering the things of the kingdom, whereas people have got different calls and different gifts, different destinies, and, you know, we must make sure that we don't compare ourselves with anybody else or try and be like somebody else. We just need to be who we're called to be and be faithful to fulfill that and to engage that. And I think that will, if we do that, then that's all we're responsible to do, you know. But the closer we get to God, the more our heart's desires will be aligned with that rather than anything else. So, yeah, like that. Answers.
Hey guys, better late than never.
That's good, Mike. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mike.
Okay.
Hey, Andra, how are you?
Hey, I'm good. How are you guys?
Good.
Good, thanks.
Better late than never, I guess, huh?
Okay.
I did have a quick question, a follow-up for what you were just talking about, since I chimed in a little late. But as far as a ministry is concerned, and actually we're getting ready to go pray today over a ministry that I'm involved with that's having, we believe, some warfare going on. So how would you approach that? Just what's like the first step? I mean, do we need to really discover mountains before, and the authority, or what's blocking on the mountains, or are we supposed to go into the court first and get a mandate? Do we need to know what's blocking on the mountains? I mean, how does that kind of, what's kind of our first protocol step there?
Well, what I would do, you know, oops, I would be looking to get the mandate for what you're doing today, because that will show you what to do. You know, so
okay,
essentially, yeah. You step into the presence of God around the Ark of God, and you're looking for your heart to be open to receive the mandate for what you're doing today. Receive that as a heavenly mandate. Then you then can begin to administer that mandate. So I would, first of all, I would take it to my mountain, and I would begin then to see, okay, what is it I need to do? If you need a specific strategy, then go and get a strategy from the court of war. If you're not doing those things yet and you just want a basic, what do you do? Well, I would just basically, from a position of authority, I would release that mandate. I would call for blessing. I would open up the hearts and minds of those in associated with the ministry. I would bind things to the purpose of God. I would loose things from whatever the enemy is seeking to do to hinder it and affect it. You know, I would release angels to go and prepare the way in the atmosphere of the earth so that there is an open heaven in what we're doing. If you are looking to deal with, okay, this is an established ministry, there are things that are hindering it, then if you depends what level of authority you've got. If you're the one who's been given authority to look into these things and to minister into these things, then use that authority to go and see in the realm of heaven and look at the mountain, look at to see the mountains around it. Are there dragons? Are there worshipping temples on those mountains? Are there being set things set up which people have done that has give the enemy legal access to hinder, to block, to obstruct the dimension of rulership they should have? Get the images and the pictures and the symbolism, even if it's an impression of, has something been done that has given legal access to the enemy? You can then go to the courts and deal with that legal right. Okay, I want to hear the accusers of this ministry. What are the accusations? Are there familiar spirits assigned to this ministry? Okay, how have you been affecting people? Because it will be people that have been affected. Generally, is there unforgiveness? Is there any bitterness or resentment? Has there been any relationship breakdowns and difficulties? Is there a culture of honor? Is there an openness to talk honestly, or is there fear? Is there any Jezebel activity going on of control and manipulation? Those are all the sorts of things that the enemy does to him. Is there a political spirit in operation? Is there a religious spirit operating? Have people lost their first love and their first calling of this ministry? And is this ministry functioning out of a routine, an obligation, rather than out of life and joy? And some of those things you have to, sometimes you have to ask those questions of people and ask them to say, okay, are you willing to open up your hearts and ask God, allow God to show you? You can lie bust this ministry and take the people who are responsible for it, ask them the question, and say, okay, we're going to ask God to show you, is there anything associated with this ministry he wants to deal with? What is it? What comes as a response? Okay, where does that come from? Is this foundational? Was this sown into the beginning of this ministry, so it's always been there? Has this come in through certain people or certain things that have happened? You ask the same sort of questions and you wait for God to give the person the answer. But they've got to be really willing and honest. If they're not willing to be honest, then they will cover up. Because God may well say, you are the problem. What you did, or your behavior, or your attitude, or what you did there, or actually that little unrighteous thought, or that little unrighteous action, which you never really dealt with, you thought no one knew about, the enemy knows about it, and he is using that as an access point to hinder this ministry. So it's pretty challenging stuff. If people are serious in wanting that to change, then when you've got the answers to those things, then you can take them to the courts and stand under the judgment of God, repent, renounce for those things. You can release the judgment of God, but people have to be willing to own it. If they're not willing to own it, then you can't be judged, and therefore the power is still operating. Then you can receive an authorization to close the doors that the enemy's had open and shut the access points. Yeah, we've done this survey here with one of the ministries that we have, and we found that there was a financial blockage and there were various things, and it was like we went and did this and said, okay, we want to know, what are the accusations against us? What are we? Where are we not aligned with the will and purpose of God? Where have we got out of alignment? Even if it's 1 degree off, where are we out of alignment? And we came up with 4 pages of A4 of things that people felt God say, and each one of them we took into the courts, we repented, we renounced it, we basically acknowledged that we were out of order in these things, where we were out of alignment, or we'd done things that weren't totally righteous, you know, not deliberately, but just, you know, sometimes you just do things because it's expedient, or you need to do something quickly and you don't realize what the implications are of how you deal with certain things, you know. So those are some of the things you can just begin to do in the initial stages of finding out what the implications are. But do it from that sort of heavenly perspective, and whatever you do, make sure you minister from there. Even if you're the only person who can step into that, step in on behalf of other people, because that's what I've done. I've stepped in on behalf of a ministry or a group, because I can do it. I've got access to do it, and therefore I've stood identifying with them and with their authority, because they have to give you that authority to do it on their behalf. Then you can deal with the certain things that get shown, and usually there's a whole load of repentance and renouncing needs to be done, you know. And sometimes there are things that are foundationally were done at the beginning of a ministry. People didn't understand the implications of it at the time, but it became a foundational flaw that the enemy has probably taken advantage of ever since, you know. Now, a lot of people don't want to acknowledge that they made a mistake or they got something wrong, and that becomes a problem. You know, if people aren't willing to be really honest and open, then none of these processes work really well. You know, and if people have got insecure or they're afraid that their reputation will be damaged and all that stuff, if that stuff's in place, then you have to deal with that first, because it will hinder people being willing to hear God and willing to acknowledge and accept that. Knowing that, hey, God loves everyone who's involved, there is no guilt or condemnation, and there's no need for shame, but there is a need for confession and repentance if necessary. So, yeah, that.
Okay, that's great. That's very, very helpful. Yeah, I think that'll be great. Thanks.
Okay, you're welcome. Right. Okay, so anything else just before we go? I've got a few minutes, but not long.
Go ahead, Andrew.
Well, if you got something, you go ahead. You have something here?
Just some details of next meetings and stuff I wanted to ask Mike about. But go ahead if you got a question.
Well, hopefully this isn't too in depth or won't be a. This is, I think, something pretty simple, but just really connecting to, you know, there's a lot of assessments that happen, you know, in the body of Christ with coaching and or life coaching and those kind of things, like DISC assessment, and there's, you know, the emotional intelligence, things like that. And I was wondering about your thoughts on, is that earthly? Is that something that's more, is that line up with their scroll, or is that just, you know, the personality type test? Is that, you know, since the word says we're supposed to be all things to all people, if we narrow that down and box them in, does that limit them, or is that really what's on their, you know, how God's created them? Does that make sense, hopefully?
Yeah, sure, yeah. I'm not against taking surveys or tests that give an insight into certain things. I know there's like spiritual gifts tests you can take and gives you an insight into what your primary sort of gifts that you function in. Or, you know, we've certainly done the redemptive gift survey that just give a clue into, you know, how we're wired up and helps people just to just engage with that. And I no problem with any of those things. I wouldn't put those things above developing a personal relationship with God where we can go to him ourselves and ask him and talk to him. And you know, in terms of our scroll of destiny, you know, yes, you can look at the desires of your heart and the things that you've been drawn to in your life as a clue. You can look at sometimes the negative things the enemy does in our lives to hinder us as a clue, but they're clues. You know, they're things that are hints that point us in the right direction. And where personal, intimate relationship with God, which we can just talk to him face to face and get an answer and ask him, you know, what is our destiny? What's on our scroll? How do I engage with what I was before I am here? All those types of questions. They're helpful things just to help us. But I wouldn't want to use them as a definitive answer to anything, because what we don't want to do is trying to set up some sort of formula that will enable people to work it all out without God. So if they help just get us on the right wavelength or thinking about certain ways of being and thinking and how we're wired up and understanding ourselves a little bit better, that's great. But what we want to do is we want to come before the presence of God. You know, we want to engage God in the garden of our heart. We want to sit with him and fellowship with him. We want to open that first love gate so that he'll come in and dine with us. So he'll bring revelation to us that will begin to shape our hearts and begin to draw us and the desires of our hearts towards what our destiny is. You know, and we then can go and get the mandates that give us revelation. We can get the specific scrolls from heaven, which we couldn't do before. So a lot of these things, you know, are useful in the initial steps of helping to identify some things, but we want to go on from those things which are, I don't want to say immature, but they're just things that, until we can engage face-to-face with God and go and see a scroll, they're helpful. But we want to help people to go beyond that into engaging with God himself, particularly learning how to engage around the ark and stepping into him, you know, our life being hidden within God in Christ, seeing from that perspective, that changes things, you know, in doing that. So, you know, definitely not against tests. They're fun. Sometimes they're fun, and they help you to think about, well, who am I, and what am I called to do? And so long as you don't stay there, you move on into, hey, it's God who's going to really reveal these things to me in fullness, so I'm going to pursue the desire that this has created in me to think about more about this, in meditating around it, into engaging God himself. Because that's where our real heart is going to be changed. Because a lot of those tests are only going to be out of our personal experience up until this point in time, not what we've experienced after we've engaged in heaven. And so they can only be limited to what we already know. Whereas when you engage with God and you activate the eyes of your heart and you activate hearing and reason and imagination and conscience and activate those senses through intuition and revelation that comes through our spirit, then you go beyond. I mean, I think Albert Einstein once said something like, rational thought can only take you as far as you know, but imagination can take you anywhere, you know. So they will help us understand the journey up till now, but it won't necessarily be the full picture, because there are things we've yet to experience and engage in which will open up a greater dimension of who we are and our identity and our destiny and what God's called us to. And of course, he will not reveal all of our destiny all in one go, because we're on a journey and we need to take the journey to prepare us for the next step. And so if we try and sidetrack the journey or shortcut the journey, then you miss out on the training that you need to go through to prepare you for the next step of your destiny. So, you know, we need to realize that it is a journey, and we won't get to know everything ahead of time. So long as we're going in the right direction and we're not going off the path, then more revelation comes with the deeper intimacy and engagement with things in heaven and other things. So, yeah, I think that will be where I'd be coming from on that. So, okay. All right.
Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome.